September gets an official status hung upon it, as many months do. This is National Preparedness Month, a chance to consider what we should do should disaster strike. The theme of the month is prepared, not scared. The theme of this particular week is make a plan to prepare for disasters. This is the regular work of our next guests who work in emergency management. In Oregon, where a big earthquake is entirely possible, one of the campaigns is called 2 Weeks Ready, an urge to have supplies on hand for an extended period. Our guests are Althea Rizzo from the Oregon Office of Emergency Management, the Geological Hazards Program Coordinator. Althea, welcome back to The Exchange.
Hey, happy to be back.
Good to have you. Emily Ring is with us as well from Josephine County, the Assistant Emergency Manager there. Emily, welcome.
Thank you.
Althea, has the message pretty well permeated Oregon at this point that a big earthquake is entirely possible?
I think that our awareness has certainly grown in the last few years, and I think nearly most of Oregonians have at least heard about Cascadia. They may not have a plan for it yet, but they at least know that the earthquake is a possibility.
So when we talk about preparing for Cascadia, why 2 weeks?
Well, we know that it could be a significant amount of time before we are able to get systems into place to have widespread services and supplies brought in to Oregon. All of our first responders are also going to be victims of the event. So it's just going to take us time to get up and running so that we can get supplies out to people. And so that's why it's important for families and neighborhoods to do the work and be prepared so that they know that their family and neighborhood is going to be safe after a large event like this until help can actually get to them.
It's an interesting point you bring up about neighborhoods, because we've done some of this work in my neighborhood in Talent. The idea being that, you know who's got what and who can help out who in what way. This seems to be a thing that is particularly in communities where you have CERT, community emergency response teams type structures. But are there structures and methods that you can recommend for people to reach out to neighbors if they don't have some structure already set up?
Yeah, I mean, bake a plate of cookies and take them over to your neighbor if you haven't met them yet and introduce yourself. You could get neighbors together for a potluck and just start having this discussion. You don't have to start it off with Cascadia is coming and you have to get prepared. Just get to know your neighbors, because about 90% of the rescues after large events like this are done by family, coworkers, neighbors, just because, it takes time for the responders to get themselves up and activated. So your neighbor is going to be your first responder, or it could be the other way around.
Indeed. The 2 Weeks Ready campaign has been out for a few years already, I notice. Are you getting much response from the public thus far?
Yeah, it's really resonating, because people know that, we're not going to be able to swoop in within that first day or two to be able to help them. And this really gives them ownership and agency in the process. They are taking that on and making the response their own, and they're tailoring it to their family needs, their neighborhood needs, and by doing that preparedness, it really gives them a lot of self-assurance and really able to relax a little bit, not worry so much about the big event once they get their preparedness done.
So as we talk about family needs and individual needs, Emily Ring, I want you to step in here because I noticed that Josephine County was recently making offers of pre-made 3-day kits, but any kit is going to be tailored to a family. Expand on that concept, if you would, just a bit about the kinds of things that everybody should include and then the specific kinds of things each individual should consider.
Sure, of course. So we started a couple of different preparedness initiatives in Josephine County because we could see that while folks were interested and feeling motivated to meet the 2 Weeks Ready goal, they were still having trouble putting together a personalized kit for themselves, or it just felt overwhelming. If you go online and you start looking, there's a wide variety. Some are quite expensive, but the quality is not good and so forth. So we worked with our local search and rescue group to put together what we considered as low cost as possible and high quality combination of items that is a 3-day go kit to keep in your car or at your home. We make them for one person, two person, or more on an as-needed basis, but we also make the list of supplies that are in that kit available so that folks are certainly encouraged to build their own. We will help you build your own. We'll talk you through it, or you can just purchase it if that would be easier. We always recommend some form of communication in a large Cascadia-type event. We know that communications, cellular towers, internet, that's going to be spotty. It's often not going to be functioning at all for periods of time or only in certain pop-up locations. And so a way to receive information that is very useful is a hand crank radio that has a solar charger on it where you can keep your cell phone charged through a small solar panel. Oftentimes, if they're a combination emergency radio, they also have a flashlight component to it. Sanitary wipes, whistles, orange trash bags, which you can use for shelter, you can use for, you know, collecting personal waste, you can use for flagging first responders, Mylar blankets, of course, food, water, first aid kit, knife is good for multiple purposes, N95 masks are good, duct tape, good gloves, and good walking shoes are kind of the basics that we encourage people to start with.
We were talking about emergency preparedness kits. September is National Preparedness Month. Oregon has its 2 weeks ready campaign going on, and obviously there are other shorter durations for other kinds of situations, but Oregon being prone to earthquakes, that's why the two-week ready campaign is a big one. You can join us as we talk to Althea Rizzo with the Oregon Office of Emergency Management and Emily Ring with Josephine County's Emergency Management System. You can join us at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So just as Emily was ticking off the list there, it got bigger and bigger. Althea, how big a space do you need to save 2 weeks of supplies?
Well, it really depends on your family, and one of the things that we recommend that people do is take 2 weeks and kind of journal everything that they use so that they can start to understand what their family's needs are. If you have an infant, you're going to need different things than if you have just a pet or if you have elders in the home. And it can be a substantial amount of space if you are going to do it as a separate thing. But what we also recommend is that you just kind of incorporate this into your daily living. So you may not have 2 weeks worth of food sitting on a shelf out in the garage, but in your pantry, you can have 2 weeks worth of food that you just cycle through regularly. So you're not really taking up any more space for that food. You're just thinking about it a little bit more purposefully and planning a little bit more shelf stable. Having a garden, raising your own food, knowing how to wildcraft, all of those things that can contribute to your ability to feed yourself and your family during the event. And it doesn't necessarily take up any more space in your garage. So there are clever ways to get around it. Now, you certainly could, you know, buy 2 weeks worth of food and stick it out in your garage, and then you can, you know, basically forget it. But we really encourage people to be thinking about this sort of in the back of their mind, at least, so that when you go to the grocery store, you pick up another, you know, pack of tuna or canned protein or whatever protein you like to eat, and just make it a part of your daily living.
You know, I was going to ask you about whether you need to cycle things through to make sure the stuff stays fresh, and I think you referred to that. So if it stays in your pantry, it sounds like you take out the older stuff and you put the newer stuff in, you may get it from the grocery store.
Yeah, when I go grocery shopping, I buy my rice and my beans in very large containers that I just kind of cycle through. So when I get halfway down a rice, I go buy another one. Or halfway down a bean, I go get another one. And this way, if something happens and, you know, I have unexpected children showing up at my house, I can also feed them on a pinch. So it's just a part of your way of living. We really need to start thinking about being Cascadian and what that means to how we live our lives.
Emily Ring, where should we be keeping our stuff? Althea made a couple of references to the garage and the pantry, but, you know, if our houses get heavily damaged, we might not want to have the stuff in there with us. So, I mean, when you're talking about emergency kits, 3-day, 2-week, whatever, what's a good idea for where to keep the stuff?
Well, again, it varies, and that's why we like to have one-on-one conversations with folks if they're having difficulty problem-solving for what's going to fit best for themselves. Obviously, your personal plan is going to be different if you live in a small apartment versus if you live in a multifamily household. for most folks, it works to have something in your vehicle. Just everything I listed and more fits within a small backpack. And we encourage that. If possible, you can keep it locked in your trunk, because a lot of us are commuting back and forth, even short distances, or driving a lot. We're very car mobile culture here, and it's likely you might be near your vehicle or in your vehicle when a large event happens. And also, we encourage folks to plan not just for Cascadia, but for personal emergencies. That breakdown on the side of the road, you might be happy that you had all those items in your backpack, and doesn't necessarily have to be preparedness for Cascadia, although we do say if you are prepared for the large events, you should be prepared for the small events too.
Okay, a little food, a little water, a little Mylar blanket could go a long way when you're stuck on the roadside without having an earthquake cause the delay.
Sure.
Are there some supplies we should be keeping just under our beds, Emily? I mean, I know the CERT folks in our area were talking about make sure you have a hard hat, gloves, light, you know, in case something happens in the middle of the night.
So we have folks on staff who have experienced significant earthquakes themselves personally, and we have come to really strongly believe that a simple and very useful technique is to take a bag and either tie it to a bedpost or, like you said, under your bed somewhere where you're sleeping at night, if Cascadia should happen at night when you're in bed. In that bag, within reaching distance, is a source of light, you know, headlamp, flashlight, gloves, a pair of shoes to slip on of some form. And if you just had those three items, you would be immediately much more prepared and calm when the event happens. You can find your way around. You can deal with broken glass. You can keep your feet safe and secure and just reduce those immediate injuries. Some of the most common injuries following an earthquake happen to be lacerations to bare feet and bare hands as people are disoriented and trying to move about after things have shifted. So right away, just that simple little thing, which most people probably would be able to take care of, would get you set off in a way that is making you feel more prepared and safe.
Preparing for emergency. It is prepared, don't be scared, or let me see what the actual title is. Prepared, not scared is the National Preparedness Month 2019 slogan. We're talking to Althea Rizzo at the State of Oregon, the Geological Hazards Program Coordinator for the Office of Emergency Management, and Emily Ring, the Assistant Emergency Manager for Josephine County. Questions, comments, 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Grumpy John and Grants Pass emailed Althea and said, don't forget a can opener. But, you know, I was thinking about that myself. Don't a lot of cans have self-openers now?
They do have a lot of self-openers. But, you know, not all of them do. And he makes a very, very good point that we do rely on technology and electricity a lot. So making sure that you have low-tech, analog, manual systems so that you can open your cans of food and have those types of things in your kit.
Right. Good things to have nearby. Any cost estimates on what a two-week kit is, will cost to gather together? Now, granted, I know you mentioned that you could do this incrementally, certainly, a little bit each time as you shop at the grocery store, but do you have a ballpark figure for what the items will run most people?
Emily, do you have some numbers from your project down there?
Yeah, so our one-person three-day kit is $75, but $25 roughly of that is just the emergency radio alone.
Mm-hmm.
So if you try to take that piece out of it and just look at kind of the basics, the food, the batteries, the lights, you're looking at less than $200 for two people, probably for those 2 weeks ready for those very basic supplies.
Mm-hmm. Josephine County not being one of the wealthiest counties around, I wonder if you have issues with people saying, look, I want to do all these things, but I can't afford to.
Yes, absolutely. That comes up a lot. And so we try to do things like partner with gleaning projects where folks can get food and fruit for free and dehydrate them and then share the bounty amongst themselves if they share the work. We try to have projects where we teach people to do beyond food preparation for free, things like water filtration, just that skill building piece. So if you're not able to purchase it, because it's not just about things, it's about the skills, because then even if you lose the things or do not have those items immediately available, you'll have the skills to create them or procure them for yourself and others as time goes along.
Yeah, and Althea, I already talked about consider having a garden to grow some food and considering some wildcrafting as well. There's some things that even without the food supplies, you should check from time to time. I guess what I'm thinking about things like flashlights and batteries and the fact that you can kind of go back after 2 years and, oh, the battery's leaked, the flashlight doesn't work, et cetera. So is it a good idea to check, I don't know, every September maybe or more often than that, Althea?
Yeah, absolutely. You should be periodically checking your supplies and your tech, because tech improves over time. I just found out that headlamps now come with USB charging, so you don't have to worry so much about batteries that you will need to be able to recharge it afterwards. But tech improves, food management improves, so periodically check in with what you have and find ways to improve it or replace it.
The idea of journaling for 2 weeks is fascinating. I wonder if people have given you some feedback and said, wow, I can't believe the stuff I use over 2 weeks or something along those lines.
Yeah, I haven't heard direct feedback from anyone, but I know that there have been some projects in the past where families are encouraged to journal what they consume over a two-week period, and it can be really eye-opening on how much we consume over a 2 week period.
Indeed. So I understand the shakeout drill, Emily, is coming up on October 17th. Tell us about that.
So Josephine County tries to participate annually and will be participating again this year on the Great Shakeout Earthquake Drills, as you said, Thursday, October 17th at 10:17 a.m. Many, many people all over will have the opportunity to practice together simultaneously how to drop, cover, and hold on in preparation for an earthquake. Although they estimate Cascadia could last 3, possibly up to 5 minutes, which is an incredibly long period of time. Mm-hmm. This drill is for 60 seconds. A lot of staff and working adults in particular are real hesitant to drop, cover, and hold on under their desks. They might feel a little silly or not want to interrupt work, so we encourage alternatives. Like if you're driving, think about how you would safely pull over and look for the hazards. Are there light poles? Are there trees? What would you do? You can work together to, turn out the lights in the office and try to safely find your way out. There are modifications we encourage people to think about. October 17th, you can sign up at shakeout.org.
A couple questions left, Althea Rizzo, or a couple seconds left. I mean, Althea Rizzo, is it a fine line to walk trying to get people ready and not have them be scared?
Yeah, absolutely. We hear so much about the impact and how large the impact is going to be. But we just need people to understand that by doing this preparedness, by doing the actions, you control how you are going to fare in that event. And that gives you a lot of peace of mind.
All right. Facebook.com/2weeksready, 2 with the numeral. You can also go to our website at jeffexchange.org and find links to the areas we're talking about here. Althea Rizzo is with the Oregon Office of Emergency Management, the Geological Hazards Program Coordinator. Emily Ring, the Assistant Emergency Manager for Josephine County, talking about the 2 weeks ready campaign and some other preps for disaster. Thank you both for joining us today on The Exchange.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Jeff.
Good to have you both.